We have joining us this morning food icon Melissa Clark. She writes a column called A Good Appetite in the New York Times, also the author of over 40 cookbooks, and appears in a weekly cooking video series. We can check out on her website, melissaclark.net. Good morning.
Good morning to you.
I was just on your website, Melissa, and it looks delicious.
Well, you know, nothing like food photos first thing in the morning to get your appetite going, right?
Yeah, thanks for that, by the way. Now I'm hungry. No, no, it does, though. It looks absolutely delicious. Where did you get your passion for food and cooking and started you on this path of writing columns and doing videos?
You know, I started cooking when I was a little kid. I was, you know, my family were always big cooks. My parents were big Julia Child followers, you know, back in the 70s. And so when I was growing up, there was always cooking going on. And I learned the earliest lessons just by being in the kitchen and watching my parents cook. I think that's so important. If you can cook with your family, even when I wasn't helping them, I just sort of picked it up by watching. I'd be in the kitchen, I'd be doing my homework, and I would smell things. I would smell garlic, I would smell onions cooking. And those scents and just the noise of cooking, all of that made it so much more comfortable when I started cooking myself, because I knew what to expect on a sensory level, right? Not just like how to do something, but what it should smell like, what it should look like, what it should taste like. And that was the beginning. And then it just took off from there. I mean, when I realized, oh, wait, you mean if I crave something really delicious like a cake, I could actually make it and I wouldn't have to like worry about where I was. That was like such a great lesson for me. Like if I want a cookie, I could just bake one myself. And so I started cooking, you know, from an early age, and I've been doing it ever since. And
that's
I'm trying
right.
to get my daughter to do it too, you know, passing it down.
Forget Nabisco. I'm making my own cookies.
Yeah, exactly.
I love it.
It's better. And plus then you get to eat the cookie dough.
That's right. Everybody knows that's the best part. We all know that.
That's the best part. Yeah, 100%.
Well, Easter coming up this weekend, and let's face it, most of us are probably having ham again. Nothing against ham. For me, it's the only time of year that I can actually get my mom's famous ham gravy, which is delicious. It's salty and sweet, and it goes awesome on potatoes. It's so good. But I really could go for something new, and I understand that you have some really great ideas to do something different for Easter and Passover, which is coming up this weekend. So let's talk Easter dishes. What is a good Easter dish that's not ham?
I know, right? Well, you know, I'm not saying you should give up your ham because, you know, you got to have your ham gravy, but maybe you want something new to go alongside it, right?
Yeah.
Like, you know, you have to keep the dishes that your family loves, because otherwise they'll be mad at you. But then what I like to do is I like to serve it with a twist. I like to change up the side dishes. So why not try something new this year? And one of my favorite things to do is a savory bread pudding with cheddar cheese and marinated artichoke hearts.
Okay, so now, normally when you hear about bread pudding, you hear of it being, like, sweet. I've never heard of a bread pudding that's savory.
Yeah, so, you know, it's the same principle as regular sweet bread pudding. You've got your day-old bread, and you've got your eggs and your, you know, cream or milk, and you want to soak the bread in that eggy cream mixture until it gets soft and tender. But instead of adding sugar, I'm going to add a lot of cheese. And what it does is it just gives the same, it's like a savory, almost like, I mean, it's got a lasagna vibe, except that it's, instead of noodles, it's got the bread and the eggs. And then you can flavor it with whatever you want. But it's got that crusty, cheesy top. It's got the tender, eggy center. And, you know, it's just such a beautiful thing that you can pop in, that you can make it the day before.
Yeah.
Pop it in the oven, and it just gets golden brown, and it kind of puffs up a little bit too. It's almost like imagine a souffle, like a savory souffle.
Yeah.
And that's what you've got with this bread pudding. The marinated artichokes are so good. You can buy them just in the supermarket in the little jars. Chop them up with scallions, cheddar cheese, and it gives it so much flavor. It makes it springy. If you're not an artichoke fan, you can do it with roasted red peppers. You can do it with olives. You can do it with actually chopped up pieces of ham in there is great. So this is a really just a little bit different side dish that you can serve with your Easter ham, or if you're a leg of lamb family. Some families do leg of lamb, right?
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm.
So if you're a leg of lamb family, it goes with it too.
Yeah.
And then, you know, for Passover, we think of, I like to do, you know, you can't not have brisket because, again, it's like you got to have the thing that your family's expecting. But
sure.
Instead of doing it the same old way, I like to do it. I've lightened it up and I've made it a little more springy. So I have this fabulous recipe at nytcooking.com. And that's also where you can find that bread pudding I was just talking about.
Mm, yeah.
I have a recipe for brisket with, instead of, you know, onions and, you know, sometimes people use a lot of tomato or red wine. I've lightened it. I use white wine, citrus juice, so a little orange juice and a little lemon juice,
okay. And
got lots of garlic. And it's just brighter. And it's just, it's so great. You can also make it. You can make it a couple of days ahead. Mm-hmm. And then when I serve it with lots of fresh spring greens to just make the whole thing really bright and lively.
Wow.
But it's still brisket. It's still got that delicious brisket gravy.
Mm-hmm, yeah.
Perfect with your potato kugel. And it is amazing. Leftover brisket is amazing all week long, you know, because you're going to be wanting mm-hmm. to have that for Passover on some matzah with a little bit of horseradish. It's like my favorite Passover sandwich.
Typically, when I make a brisket, I smoke it for like 10 hours, but that's just me. Now, I didn't realize you could cook brisket other ways. That sounds amazing, though.
That is
though.
A good way to do it.
Yeah, no, it is. Oh, no, but
yes,
still, I didn't realize you could make brisket other ways. You know, I thought, well, no, that's what you do with brisket. If you're not turning it into a corned beef, you put it in the smoker. But that's an amazing recipe. I would love to try that.
Yeah, you can find it at nytcooking.com. It will hook you right up.
Now, I understand also on your column and in your video series, you talk about not just, you know, recipes and different ways to prepare food, but you also give tips on how to, like, make the best of the ingredients you have right in your cupboard at home, which I find fascinating because my pantry is a disaster. And you go through there, it's like,
yep.
Hey, this has been back here since 1998. Maybe we should use this. But you've got some tips on how to clear out the pantry and avoid throwing things away.
Yeah. So you are the perfect person to do this. I'm giving you this advice as soon as you can. It's time to do a little spring cleaning in your pantry. This is what I advise. Take everything out. Just everything out of your pantry. Give it a good wipe down. And then when you put stuff back, you want to make sure to put the oldest stuff in the front. So that 1998 can of tuna, well, that one might be expired by now. But say that you have something from like 2011 that's still good.
Mm-hmm.
Put that in front, right? So the oldest stuff, you got to put it in front so that when you're reaching in your pantry, you're going to grab that first and you're going to use it up so that you're not going to have to throw it out and waste it. You know, it sounds like you do this too.
Mm-hmm.
I get home from the grocery store, I unpack my bags, I just throw it in the pantry.
Pretty much. I'm sure I'm not the only one that has cans of stuff with a dusting of flour over the top too in my pantry.
Totally. I do too. But even that happens, that could even happen in a year. You still got to, you know, it's like just once a year, take it all out and then put it back in reverse. The newest stuff in the back and the oldest stuff in the front. And then you're going to use it up. Sometimes you find treasures in there.
That's a great idea.
And last time I went through my pantry, I found homemade jam that someone had given me a couple of years ago that I'd forgotten. And it was just this beautiful jar of, I mean, homemade jam, right? The best gift. And if I hadn't cleaned out my pantry, I never would have found it. So get in there, see what treasures might be hiding.
There might be a couple here and there. You also do tips for grocery shopping on how to, like, I didn't know there was a right and a wrong way to grocery shop, but apparently you got some tips on how to go grocery shopping and not spend as much money.
Yeah, prices are rising.
They are.
Unfortunately, right now we're at a point where things are a lot more expensive. And so this is, I would say, anytime you buy something in bulk, you are going to spend less money per pound, whether you're buying dried beans or dried rice. If you can buy it in bulk rather than in a package, if you buy more, you'll tend to save money. So, of course, always look for sales. Whenever you see a sale at a supermarket, you want to stock up on whatever, if it's something that you love to eat, stock up on it. And if it's a perishable, like if they have a sale on pork chops or chicken breasts and you buy them in bulk, they're going to cost less per pound and you can put them in your freezer. One thing that I think is really important, if you buy a bulk batch, say that you buy, you know, a family-sized thing of chicken breasts, you save money, you have this big package. Take the chicken breasts out of the package when you get home, rewrap them individually, and put them in the freezer. And that way, if you just need one or two, you know they're in their freezer. You have the security of knowing that you've got dinner in there, and you've also saved money. and you package them so they're easy to just grab and they defrost quickly.
I actually do that with the chicken anyway. I mean, but yeah, that makes total sense.
Yeah, exactly. It works with pork chops and sausages too.
That's fantastic. I love your tips and your suggestions. And anybody who wants to know more about you, there's a website. It is your name, melissaclark.net. We're going to post that to our website with also a copy of this interview, as well as a few of your recipes as well. And I appreciate you coming on my show and talking about this and giving us some different ideas for Easter and Passover this year, because I'm sure we're all a little tired of ham. We want a little something different. We're going to have the ham.
Yeah, have the ham and have the savory bread pudding too. And you can find that at nytcooking.com for that recipe and the brisket recipe I mentioned too.
Thank you so much, Melissa.
Take care.
You too.